Good morning. Again, today is a little bit different, but there's a reason behind that. So we're continuing to talk about worship as we have been the last few weeks. And so I thought that it made sense to talk about it from the start of today so that we can discuss it and talk about it now. And then we can spend the rest of our time together actually doing it. So the sermon today is going to be spending a lot of time just reading worshipful scripture. We're also going to spend a little bit of time allowing you to do some of the talking, and then we'll spend a lesser amount of time in teaching. But I do want to spend some time in teaching because today we're talking about worship as collaboration. And so I do think that there's definitely some things, some important insights that we can observe in talking about worship as a collaboration, as the whole body of Christ. But I think it may serve us just as well to also just meditate on scripture, to spend time collaborating all together in our worship. There are many instances all throughout scripture that are simply God's people calling each other to worship. God sends out this call to worship him, and he uses his people to do that. And so we're going to look at several of these calls to worship toward the end of the sermon. First, I want to just take a look at the significance of this collaboration. Because the thing is, we all come here every week, we come for a couple hours, we spend this time together, and the question is, in the hopes of what? Why do we come together? And there really aren't very many scriptures out there that talk about these meetings or explain these meetings that went on, what they looked like in the early church, but let's go ahead and take a look at a few that do shed some light on these early assemblies. So let's take a look at Acts chapter 2. Acts 2:46 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. And then Colossians chapter 3 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So there's multiple things that we could discuss from here. It seems as though they did several things as they gathered together, either on a daily basis or at least once a week. There are a lot of things that they did, a lot of things we could discuss. But the one thing that seems pretty obvious in everything that they did was that they all participated, that it was something that they worked together. It was a collaboration. They're communing together, they're singing together, they're encouraging. It was a collaboration of all members of the body of Christ. And I get it, it's obvious that things are much different today, considering that most of them would have met in homes. Today, we meet in a much larger building, and so that changes things, it makes it different. But I think that the mindset and the attitude should still be similar. You don't come just to get, you come to get / give, and it's all together as one, that you give and you get. And it's just the way that we interact together, the way that this experience is supposed to be as we're gathered together. We collaborate together as one body. We're many members, but we're one body. And I think that that's certainly something that might be missed today, and perhaps it's partly due to our culture, maybe it's partly due to just our comfort level, or again, maybe it's just due to this setting. I don't really know, but I think that there's something special about this time together. And it's worth coming not to just check it off our list each week, but it's special and it's worth coming because it's a time to be invested in honoring God and building up each other. This is a special time. David Platt wrote a couple of pages in his book, Radical, that describe his experience with a group of Christians in an undisclosed location in Asia. He talked about the group that that gathered together in this dark, hidden room because it was illegal for them to meet together. He said they would spend several hours just walking to the place where they were going to meet, and he said that they would take, at different times throughout the day, they would leave and get there, and so they'd all get there at different times throughout the day so that they weren't drawing any suspicion about their meeting. They gathered together and they spent time in prayer. They spent time just encouraging each other. He said that there would literally be puddles of tears because they would weep as they talked about their friends and their family who had been arrested or killed because of these very meetings that they were having right then. They were gathered at an extremely high risk for themselves, for their families. It was high risk for them just to be there. But they did it because it was just so very important to them to be there together. So then 3 weeks later, he says that he finds himself back in the States at his home church where he was a pretty new minister there. He says as everyone arrived, the parking lot would begin to fill up with a few million dollars worth of cars in the parking lot. They would gather in the auditorium where there's comfy seats and air conditioning and lighting and sound equipment. And he said he looked around at all the smiling faces every week and wondered if it was real. And not questioning their integrity, but wondering if it was real, meaning did the joy come from the Spirit of Christ, or was it simply because they were satisfied enough by the environment that they were in? So I'm going to read what he says after he explains these two experiences. He says, "Please don't misunderstand the scene. It was filled with wonderful, well-meaning, Bible-believing Christians who wanted to welcome me and enjoy one another. People like you, people like me, who simply desire community, who want to be involved in church and who believe that God is important in their lives. But as a new pastor, comparing the images around me that day with the pictures still fresh in my mind of brothers and sisters on the other side of the world, I could not help but think that somewhere along the way we had missed what was radical about our faith and replaced it with what was comfortable. We were settling for a Christianity that revolves around catering to ourselves when the central message of Christianity is actually about abandoning ourselves. Now for me, this in no way is meant to cause shame or guilt, because that's not my point in what I'm saying. My point is that this time that we're sharing in right now together is really, really, really important to a lot of people around the world. And so I think the question that we can ask ourselves then is, how important is it to you? How important is it to me? How important is this moment? Or is it just something that I do because it's something I do every week? How important is this time, this experience that we have together? How important is that to you? Raise your hands if you've ever complained about having to go to church anytime in your life, because I know I have. At some point, I feel like most of us have complained about, oh, I gotta go to church. And so perhaps then the larger point that I'm making is that maybe there's times that we just simply don't get it, because this is a unique opportunity for us to gather. For us to gather, for us to fellowship, for us to encourage each other, for us to give worship to God who gives us life and salvation. And so because of that, to help us maybe try to get it a little more, we're gonna try something a little different. Some of you are probably gonna hate me for this, but we're gonna do something a little bit different. I'm gonna give about 7 minutes for this process, and so if you don't participate, it's gonna be a really awkward 7 minutes of silence. What I'm gonna ask is that I want, here in a minute, I'm gonna ask that maybe we gather into a group of 3, 4, 5, 6 people. And maybe it makes sense for those of you who are younger and more mobile to get up and find people who wouldn't want to move as much. But what I want us to do is I want us to gather in groups of 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever people. And I simply want us to share why you're here. Just share with each other, why are you here? For some of you, it's gonna be because you grew up going to church, and so it's just a habit that you formed. It's just something that we've always done, and so I'm gonna get up every Sunday and I'm gonna do it. For others, you walked in today and you absolutely have no idea why you're here, but you just came here and you're not sure why. For some, it may be that you woke up and you just couldn't wait to see everyone that was here, And for others, maybe you just love the time that you can be together and worship. I don't know what it is. And there may be some of these reasons to go back 10, 20, 50 years that have brought you to this point today or not. I don't know what it is for you. But so if you would, please, we're just going to take a minute to kind of get into these groups of 3 to 5 people. Just in here, just kind of sit together where you can talk. And we're just going to take some time then to share together why you're here on this day at this time. So if you would just take a minute, kind of get some people that are around you. You don't have to move far. Just grab somebody that's near you. And again, just share why are you here now? Why are you here today? And just go around and share that together. All right. I will give you a minute if you would to go ahead and move back to your seats, or if you want to stay where you are, that's perfectly fine too, but take a minute to wrap up and get back. All right, I know that might have been difficult for most. I personally have always hated doing group things. I imagine that the actual experience of doing it was probably a little bit better than the initial, when I was first telling you about it, when I was first explaining it. It's probably not nearly as bad as you thought it was going to be, right? because what I'm hoping is that I hope it was, in a way, encouraging for you also. Maybe you just really needed to hear what other people were saying, or maybe you just needed to take some time and really think about and express what that is for yourself and answer that question for yourself also. And hearing that out loud might have helped as well. You probably heard some similarities with other people and some things that they shared, and you probably heard some things that were quite different. And so it all works together, again, just to remind us that we are one body. Yes, we're many members and we have different functions, but we all work together for one purpose, and that's why we're here. And so my point is that we should cherish this time together each week. And we should know that we all play a part, because there is great value in our time of just fellowshipping together, and there's great value in our teaching and our learning together as well. But that's not all we do. Because in the end, it's not all about us, right? It's really about why we're here, and that's because we're united in Christ and we're worshiping God. And some of the things that we do here together, how we relate to each other, that's giving worship to God. And then there's also something even different about, besides, because we talk about worship, and we know that worship is something that we do, we live. It's something that we experience all throughout the week. But there's also this time where we come and we worship together, where we lift up songs of praise to God because of what he's done, because of who he is. The people of God have always lifted up songs of praise to him. The worship of individuals has long been offered to and received by God. And for me, those times are some of the most intimate times of my life, where it's just me worshiping God. But the worship of a community, giving honor and glory to God, it's been desired and it's been invited by God since the earliest days of Israel. God's often used his people to implore each other to give praise. And you can see throughout the Bible some of these calls to worship. And so I'm going to have a couple of people read some of these in a second. We'll have Eric go first, and then Walt and Keenan will be last. We're just going to read some of these calls of worship. I'm going to take some time, read through these, and again, just listen to the way that God is using his people to implore each other to worship. And so if you guys want to come on up and read, Eric is up first. And if you would just listen and take this in again as if God is speaking to you through his scripture.
I'll be reading Psalm 66. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me.
Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his truth.
Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Thanks. And one more, Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods, and his hands are the depth of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. So pausing there for a second before continuing on, there's this call to worship God and to recognize our place in relationship to him, that I am human, but he is God, and so he deserves my worship. But then there's this warning about our hearts and worship also. Continuing, it says, today, if only you would hear his voice say, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah, in the wilderness where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years, I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger that they shall never enter my rest. So the challenge issued, at least for us, is after this call to worship, there's this challenge to not harden our hearts. And so the psalmist uses this reference back to Exodus chapter 17, where the people of God, the Israelites, were in the wilderness and they were thirsty and they were whining. And they'd fought and they'd argued with Moses and God. They'd basically just lost their faith in Moses and God, that he was going to come through. What is your plan? What are you going to do? And so they're thirsty. And so God tells Moses to go to this rock and give them some water. And so that's what he did. And in Exodus chapter 17, verse 7 then, it says, he called the place Massa in Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? The people no longer knew if God was among them or not. I think that sometimes we run a risk of forgetting in our worship that God is here, that God is among us, especially if we're spending our energy arguing and complaining to God. He's always been faithful to his people, and God will always be faithful to his people. And that fact deserves our worship. That fact deserves thanksgiving from us and saying that he will always be there for us, even when we don't believe it, even when we don't know it. And so here's your call to worship. It can take many different forms for different people. You may be doing fine, or you may be doing horribly, or you may be celebrating today. But as we sing together, let the words of your church family hear as we sing together. Let them penetrate your hearts. Let your worship to God be full of integrity and realness. Again, wherever your heart is today, and I don't know, but wherever that is, let it be real. As you worship God, that's what he wants. He wants us. He knows us already. So there's no point in putting up a false front. Just be real in our worship to God. I know this is a little bit backwards, but this will be, I'm hoping that this is a good catalyst into our worship to push us into this time where we can just be together, singing together to each other, but also just lifting up our worship and praise to God. So let's worship. As I said before we began singing and worshiping together, I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know why you're here. I know why Jay and Kathy are here, because I talked to them. I don't know why everyone in here is in this place at this time. I don't know what you have going on in every aspect of your life. And for some of you, it may be good. For some of you, it may not be good. Worship isn't necessarily about always having to feel good. It can be about feeling good, but it can also be about feeling really bad. The point is that as we gather, we love and we support each other. And as we're all here together to worship God, we worship our God who knows about our good days and our bad days. What I don't know, I guarantee that he does know, and he knows everything in you and what's going on. We worship our God who knows all of that. We should worship our God who takes the ugliest things in our lives and he makes them really beautiful. Even if it isn't the way that we hoped or necessarily the timing that we thought that he was going to come through. We worship our God who gave his son to experience the good and the bad the same way that we do. We worship our God who sacrificed everything for us. And the truth is that a big part of our worship is also about sacrifice. As you know, in Romans chapter 12, it starts off with, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So whatever that means for you, whatever that means for you, we want to be a part of that with you. And that's what this church is about. That's what a body of Christ is about. That's what it means to be surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we should hope that each week when we come together that we're not going to leave the same as when we came. And that's what I hope for, is that as you leave this place, that you're not leaving here today the same way as when you walked into this place. Because I would hope that as we work together, as we talk and as we love and support and encourage, that you're changed. I would hope that as you worship God, that you feel his presence. And where he is, we know that there's going to be change and there's going to be a new sense of hope and a new sense of life, because that's what he does. So please plan on not leaving here as the same person this afternoon as you were this morning. We're about to sing an invitation song, and so as we sing this, if you simply want to share something with your church family, this is a really good time to do that. If you would like to be baptized, we'd love to do that for you now also. But whatever it is that you feel like you need, we want you to feel free to come and know that you're your family is going to support you. So whatever you need right now, as we stand and sing, please come forward and let us know.